hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're gonna start a new life under the sea.
So, am I gonna drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Drop under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and we kick off Hour 2 with a guy who's basically been avoiding us for the last 2 weeks. That's the only thing we can think. We're the kiss of death for TV. We talked about it last week, but I have tracked him down, and he's agreed to come on the show today. Captain Slate from Captain Slate's Atlantis Dive Center is on Scuba Radio right now. How are you, Captain?
I'm fine. I would never avoid Scuba Radio. When you called me, I was out on a boat, and I couldn't hear nothing. All this silly, crazy diver noise, so I missed the call, and then when I got back, it was just about 5 to 5, and I didn't get on in time.
Okay, so, no worries. Not a problem. I know you're being honest, but, I mean, last week, you know, I was approached by the Jeff Probst talk show. They wanted to talk to us, and then right after that, their show was canceled. So I'm starting to get some weird vibe that, oh, my God, maybe Scuba Radio is the death of TV. That would be a bad thing. Yeah, because,
well, I don't think TV can match it.
Well, you know what? People paint in their mind's eye is a lot worse than real life. But, hey, yeah, whatever works for them. That's okay. But yeah, I don't know. Hopefully we're not a curse.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, and I honestly think this show that you're working on, or these guys approached you to film this reality TV show about Captain Slate's life or working on a dive shop down in the Florida Keys is just gold. I mean, this definitely is going to be way better than, you know, The Amazing Race, Survivor, and Honey Boo Boo all mixed. It's going to be like that, I think. They're going to be all mixed together. It's just going to be that entertaining. I have no doubt. So give us the update. First of all, it started as Clean Slate, but now they've changed this reality TV show name to what, Slate? What is it?
The Real, R-E-A-L, Slate, R-E-E-L, because we're divers, not fishing.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, to be used in the same sentence with Honey Boo Boo, you're scaring me, Greg.
Yeah. I tell you what.
I'm going to cancel the show right now.
When it comes to bodily functions and the sounds that you can make, I think you could give Honey Boo Boo a run for her money. Oh, you hear what I'm saying?
Oh. Absolutely.
Oh,
not a problem there.
Yeah.
At least that might be the only comparison. But the beauty of it is,
yeah,
and you know it,
what?
And you're going to be involved in it, is that it's a show that everybody can really do, like reality. People can come diving starting at 10 years old, 100. I mean, I've had 94 years old on a boat. I ain't got to 100 yet, but
yeah.
10 to 100. So that's the beauty of it, and it's in paradise. And it'll bring attention to the state of Florida, let alone just diving, but it's a wonderful thing like your show does.
Well, I appreciate that, but this definitely will be something to behold, I have no doubt. And what they're doing, they're going to film your dive operation. People will come in and dive with you like they do every day down there in Key Largo at Captain Slate's Atlantis Dive Center, and they'll follow your exploits, I guess, behind the scenes and training the folks or taking them out to the Christ of the Abyss statue or on the creature feature dive down there in Key Largo, that kind of stuff. Is that in a nutshell or what?
Absolutely. Well, they get into the whole Slate lifestyle and life that I've had down here, including Amy, my ex-wife, who of course uses my name, so that's kind of a little competition thing, always has been, so
right.
We kid about who's the real Slate and who's the fake Slate, so that's where they got the name Real Slate.
I got you. Okay.
So they'll let, I guess Amy and I'll aggravate each other on a regular basis even more now. So,
well, you
got to
have the drama. You got to provide the drama for this reality stuff. So they're going to needle you a little bit for TV ratings, I would imagine. But I mean, they're going to cover all the behind the scene elements of running a dive operation in the Keys too, I guess, right? Is that kind of the
absolutely.
Idea?
Absolutely. they shot the pilot for the New York City.
Like the demo reel or whatever, where the pitch reel,
this summer, and they didn't have to interject many ideas in to make it look like a reality show. They were pretty pleased with just. I think it might be just short of all the bleeps that they have on the Deadliest Catch show, just a little short.
Oh, but wow, that's nice.
Well, it was fun, and of course they involve Annette Hunter, Hunter Slate, who thinks his dad's a wacko anyway, but he's involved in it, and of course Annette. So it's just going to be like episodes of everybody around me and what's happened in the diving industry here for 35 years. And like I say, bottom line is it's going to be funnier than heck, but it's also going to introduce people to a show that they can do, and also the Keys. You know as well as I do how many people even live in Florida that have never been to the Keys. They don't even know what we got down here.
Well, that's true. I mean, you know, I live in Orlando. We do scuba radio out of Orlando, and definitely one of the best places to go is down to Key Largo and do some great diving. You actually feel like you're on an island, and you haven't left the States, and you haven't left the mainland. So, but you still get that out island vibe down there in the Keys, and to get away from it all, and the diving, definitely first class. But it's the people that makes the Keys really unique, and you're definitely at the top of that list. I mean, Kevin Slate was our first guest on Scuba Radio because he had this knack for feeding fish with his face. And if you haven't seen this creature feature dive, you got to go check it out. Now, I would imagine the guys behind this TV show project you're working with, that was the same thing that attracted them to you in the first place. Is that true, or how did they find you?
They came down through a reference from another filmmaker in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know, 18 months ago, they wanted to film two Miami Dolphin cheerleaders learning to dive. That was another episode of a show, and they, of course, brought them to us, and I immediately volunteered to teach for free, and we taught the two girls, and of course they were gorgeous, and we took them out on a creature feature. And then when they got to know me those 2 days and go out on a boat with me, and they said, hey, maybe we can take this a step further.
Well, so all you had to do, you took them out on the creature feature and say, here, pet my eel, and Miami cheerleaders, right. You know, hey, that makes great TV. What are you going to say?
I told them I had
or
a big
video.
Snake underwater. I just told them I had a big snake underwater and wanted them to hold.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Very nice. All right, so this pilot that they've filmed is being shopped to the networks right now. So where is it in production? Is it very close to actually being a signed, done deal that they're going to shoot, or where are we at with this thing?
Yeah, we've already reviewed types of episodes, like 15 different scenarios that they've sent down that they want us to do. And we've already got the program study for it, and already got the, and we're approving it, and already got episodes. I think 15 episodes he's already, he's come up with a storyline for us to do, and they look pretty funny.
Wow.
And like I said, they go back to the old days, and it's hilarious. And we do have footage from back then to throw in and out of there, but it's basically just the life of a dive operator in the Keys, or actually a couple of them, and all the people that surround us. And, of course, our actual groups that come down will be part of it when they're filming. They'll be filming live for the whole summer.
Right.
And they've shopped it to three networks right now, I think True TV, Discovery, and Animal Planet. So we'll see. But they're feeling it's a done deal.
Wow. Well, that's awesome. So it'll start filming in the summer. So you're talking about, what, May, late May, June, or later,
that's
or what?
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking probably over spring break, probably starting at the middle of March.
Wow.
Because they want to get the footage now while we're cooking.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, cool. Well, we got to come down there. We'll bring some mermaids, throw them in. I'll do kind of like a photo bomb thing behind Captain Slade or something. We could work something like that, you think? They dig that.
Well, it should be a scuba radio episode. Are you kidding me?
Okay. Scuba radio exit. We're going to prove that Greg the Dive Master indeed has a face for radio. Once and for all. Captain
Slate. They'll get to see you out behind the radio mic.
Yeah. That's a scary thought. Save that for a Halloween episode or something.
Yeah, we'll all dress up.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, so that's great. That's great news. Any publicity for diving is always good. This will just be just a blast to watch. I think the masses, anybody who knows Slate knows exactly what I'm talking about. But, you know, if this doesn't become a hit, I don't know what else could possibly do better, because it'll just be too good. You're a natural for this kind of thing. You know what I'm saying, Slate?
Well, I hope so. I mean, one of the things I was born with, if nothing else, was a gift of gab, and we'll say BS right now, but you know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's what I've built this show on for 15 years, so. You know, you just kind of live the real life of a hardcore diver man. And I just feature you guys and help you amend it a little bit.
Well, you've obviously done a good job, buddy boy. I'm telling you, it's going, what, are we 15 years now?
Yeah, we'll be 16 years old April Fool's Day, just after the Beneath the Sea show in Jersey.
Wow.
So, yeah, we got a lot going on. Good times, good friends. It's CaptainSlate.com. Then go there and book a trip with you today. Right, Slate?
Yeah, we're there.
All right, CaptainSlate.com. Do it. Who knows? You might be on his next TV show episode. That is awesome.
That'll work.
More coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Here on the island.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExploreVentures.com. That's ExploreVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into ScubaRadio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at ScubaRadio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. And, you know, some big news happened last week. Kind of escaped my radar because I was down there in Miami at the Miami International Boat Show. But Dan Orr from Divers Alert Network announced his retirement from Dan, or at least president of Dan. He's on Scuba Radio right now. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing great. Greg, how are you doing?
I'm good. Now, how about you? You have announced your retirement as president of Dan. So that means there is no Dan of Dan anymore? Come on.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, there'll always be a Dan from Dan. And,
yes.
And what I've done is to announce the fact that I've retired from the position of president of Dan. And what that really means is that I'll be doing something different. And I'll be doing still the same thing I've been doing over the last couple of years, which is to go to various events, all of the dive shows. Anytime somebody wants somebody to come in and do a lecture, I will be happy to do that and do a lot of things that I've been doing over the last number of years.
Okay, so all you really have done is just retired from all the paperwork nonsense that you probably didn't want to do anyway. And now you get to go out on the road and be Dan from Dan. And really focus on meet and greet and folks and just interfacing with divers across the country and the world. Right? Come on.
Well, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know how much we love our members. We know how much we love the industry and everybody that's a part of it. So we want to continue to do more of that.
Yes. Well, it's well deserved, for sure. And, I know you got a lot to do. I mean, maybe this frees you up to do a little bit more diving too, hopefully when you're out on the road, huh?
Yeah. That would be great. I'd love to do it. Anytime I get a chance to do more diving is always good.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to get you out on another liveaboard trip, with us here sometime soon. You and Betty are always a ball to have around. So
that'd be fantastic. We always have such a good time with you and all the other folks from Scuba Radio.
Yes, well, appreciate it. Now, I know last weekend you were at the Our World Underwater Show with Pup, and yeah, you had fun there. And I guess this was quite a topic of discussion. People coming up, giving you a nice pat on the back, hooking you up with a new watch, that kind of stuff. Are you already getting presents and things like that, or what, Dan?
Well, I didn't get any new watches or anything, but Pat and Sherry Hammer, the ones that run the show,
right?
They came up to Betty and I and gave us some nice bottles of wine and wished us the best and thanked us for all the things that we've done for the industry. And, like I've told you and like I've told your audience, this doesn't mean we're getting out of the diving community. It certainly doesn't mean there's going to be any major changes in what we do because we still want to be part of this industry.
Yes. Well, like I said, I think it'll probably just give you more time to enjoy it.
Yeah, that would be good.
Dan is working all the time. He is on the go all over the place, traveling the world, spreading the gospel of Dan, as he should. But he has to go back to the office and work his fins off. and now maybe that's, they'll give you a little bit more, a little more leeway to enjoy life a little better. So that's good. I'm very happy for you. And yeah, next time I see you, I won't get you a watch, but I'll definitely be more than happy to get you and Betty liquored up if that'll work for you. Sounds like it worked for you in Chicago. Why not continue the trend?
Sounds like a plan.
Nice. All right. So you're Chicago last weekend. What is on the show docket for you? The travel docket for Dan and Betty from Dan. You guys. I mean, by the way, this retirement doesn't really kick in until like the end of August or something. Is that the deal? So.
Yeah. My contract. Well, I have retired from the president position of Dan effective January the 1st. But my contract with Dan continues on until August 31st. And our hope is at the end of that they'll go ahead and want us to stay around and continue to do the stuff that we've done and continue to represent the organization every place we can. But between now and then, we're certainly going to be continue to be busy. We have the Boston Sea Rover Show coming up the first weekend of March, followed by the Beneath the Sea Show, and then we've got a couple of other shows going on in Santa Clara, California, the Northern California Dive and Travel Expo.
Right.
Then we've got the Scuba Show in Long Beach. We've got a band fundraiser going on actually at Portage Quarry in Bowling Green, Ohio, that we're going to be going to. And we've got a couple of talks, local presentations, and a couple Scuba Pub talks that are coming up also. So we're keeping busy.
Yes, no doubt. And when you go to these events, you're obviously shaking everyone's hand and hanging out with everybody and sharing the gospel of Dan. But you also give these seminars which ones are you doing on the road right now? Is it a new one or the one you did on the boat with us in the Turks and Caicos with Explorer Ventures last year or what?
One of the ones I'm doing is actually a modification of the one I gave on the Explorer Ventures trip. And it's because what I've done is to talk about injuries and fatalities. And one of the things I'm doing is actually looking at some of the fatalities in more detail and talking about what we're calling the culture of diving safety. And the culture of diving safety is where everybody has a role in making diving safer. So it's not just a one person or one classification of divers or one certification level. It's everybody has a role in making diving safer. I mean, it's safe as it is anyway, but we, of course, want to make it safer all the time if we can.
Well, I agree. Now, let's get into that a little bit. Are you talking about personal responsibility or, an onlooker on the boat that you're diving with where someone gets injured or something and how they can assist? What are you talking about?
Part of it is taking that personal responsibility. That's similar to the program that Dick Long put together a number of years ago, which is the Responsible Diver Program. But other parts of that have to do with understanding the value of learning from the mistakes we make, learning from each and every dive, learning from the mistakes of others, and then helping other people, helping people around us. For example, one of the things I talk about has to do with cardiac events in diving, because 28% of the fatalities we deal with are directly related to cardiac events, and 60% of those are people who had symptoms that they recognized or that others around them recognized were cardiac related, but they went diving anyway.
Right.
And so I think people around them could help people who have obvious symptoms and encourage them to talk to the dive master or call Dan or call 911 rather than just saying, you know, oh, I can hack it and go ahead and going in the water and putting themselves at risk and putting others at risk.
Right. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, that statistic might be on the rise. Is that,
it may be because of the aging diving population.
Yeah. Yeah. So whether it's yourself and you know you don't feel right and taking on that personal responsibility of knowing when to call it, even your dive buddy or a friend, if they see that your buddy's not quite acting normal, or, you know, don't just blow it off as something minor, check it out a little bit more and be a little bit more proactive, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and I guess the question, the real tough part would be trying to determine when you and I would be acting normal.
Wow, yes.
Yeah, what's the baseline there?
You know, I don't think there is one. That's that. You know, that's an unfortunate statistic that exactly. Maybe Dan needs to, you know, put some grant money towards a research project. Yeah, yeah.
But all these things are really very, very important because diving safety should be our number one concern. Of course, we all enjoy ourselves in diving, but we want to make sure that we're really, truly enjoying it so that other people will see how much fun we're having and therefore we'll bring them into the sport.
And you know, the work that you and Betty have done at Dan is just first class all the way. Not only are you always, you know, pushing these nice research projects that Dan sponsors, you're just great folks to hang out with as well. I mean, it's the best of both worlds. Dan, thank you for your great work. I look forward to hanging with you. Well, we'll see you at Beneath the Sea for sure.
Look forward to it.
Yeah, and we will catch up again and hopefully do some more diving soon. All right,
okay,
sound good?
That's fantastic, Greg. Take care, my friend, and be safe.
All right, Scuba Radio Drunken Santa is standing by on the line. I don't know why, but I guess we'll find out next.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Okay, I hate to take this call, but I've been told he's on the phone. I don't know why, because there's not a holiday anywhere around us right now, but Scuba Radio Drunken Santa is insisting to come on the radio today. So, Santa, what's going on? What's up?
Are we on the air?
Yeah, we're on the air.
What do you mean there's no holiday? There's a big holiday tomorrow.
What do you mean?
Tomorrow?
February 23rd.
Super Bowl of racing.
The Super Bowl of racing.
Tomorrow is the Daytona 500.
Okay.
Daytona International Speedway. Daytona Beach.
All right. Okay. Well, I don't know. What do you dress up for the Daytona 500? Being that that's not really a holiday, but what would you even dress up as?
I have the perfect costume for the Daytona 500. I'm wearing a tire.
A tire.
Get it? A tire.
Get it. I guess that's a step up from the diaper you wore for Valentine's Day, playing Cupid there on the interstate. But
I burn rubber, baby. Burn rubber. I was out back of the Hooters.
What?
Across the street.
Yeah.
We got hot wings, hot women, good times.
Wow. How is it possible that you have not been arrested yet? I just don't get it.
I have not committed any crimes, Greg. What does that mean?
Indecent exposure.
Time. How can I resist? Ain't looking for nothing but Daytona.
Wow. You're at the Daytona 500
and wearing
a tire.
Yes.
Are you raising any money? Because I thought that was the whole idea. The holidays outside of Christmas, you would take on another persona and try to raise some funds.
After I watch the racers practice,
yeah,
I go down to the beach and I sing and people give me tips. It's quite lucrative.
Wow.
Hey, Greg, you never guess who I ran into.
Yeah, who?
Danica Patrick.
Oh yeah, the race car driver.
Yeah, Oprah, and you know what she said to me?
What? What'd she say?
She said, go, Daddy.
Go. I bet she did. Okay,
yeah.
Well, all we can say is we're sorry.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
All right, so that is Cheap Trick, by the way, live from Budokan. You remember that album? Have you ever dove in Japan or in Budokan? I don't even know if there's diving in Budokan. I don't know, but you know who would know? It's Jerry Beatty from Dive Training Magazine, and he is on Scuba Radio right now. Jerry, how are you?
I'm doing great, Gregory. How are you? Long time. Haven't talked to you in quite a while.
Yeah, well, you're always on the road. It's like, where in the world is Jerry Beatty? I mean, Matt Lauer has nothing on you. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah, you're traveling the world all over the place, and I know you were just over in Japan. I have no clue what there is over there diving-wise. I don't even know if Budokan is a Japanese island. I'm just ignorant in that standpoint. But I got people like you I can lean on for that type of info and to let me know if it's something worth exploring. Because, well, you just were over in that part of the world, right?
Yeah, it came as a real surprise to me, too. I was down in Morocco when I got a email saying the Japanese government wanted me to go diving, and I thought, what's that about? So I just got back a couple weeks ago.
You thought you were being punked or something, or what? What do you mean?
I thought it might be one of those, you know, spams you get where they needed money because they couldn't pay the hotel.
Ah, got it. Okay. Yeah. But it ended up being legit.
It was legit, and I got to tell you, I completed that trip. And with seven other professionals that have been in the industry for decades, and the eight of us agreed it was the hardest trip we've ever been on in our lives.
Really? Now, why do you say hardest? I mean, this is a fam trip. This is where they're taking professionals from the industry to, you know, see what they have to offer. I guess, I assume it was a diving thing, right?
It definitely was a diving thing. And the whole thing kind of came at me from left field. I'd never heard of Yonaguni Island before.
Okay. That's and, right next to Budokan.
Didn't realize that Okinawa is really sort of not part of Japan.
Oh, it's its own independent island, I guess, country.
Okinawa was an independent country that Japan took over in the late 1895 or something like that, but they do not consider themselves Japanese. They consider themselves to be Okinawan.
Interesting. Okay, so you got approached to go over there. So what made it so hard? What do you mean that it was the hardest trip you ever did?
Well, first of all, you have to look at the location. The location of a Yonaguni Island is 1,200 miles out to sea from Tokyo.
Okay,
wow. It is actually 60 miles off the coast of Taiwan. And it's half as far to Shanghai, China, as it is to Tokyo.
I see. Okay. So you got a bit of a boat haul to traverse to even get to the place where you need to go dive.
The word remote certainly applies. Yeah, the first day out, we fly 37 hours over to Narita,
right.
Tokyo.
Yeah.
And then we head over to Okinawa. They allow us to stay in a hotel room for 5 hours. Then they get us up. They put us on another airplane, and they fly us 2 hours out to Yonaguni.
Wow,
okay. They put us on a boat in 8-foot seas and say, go dive twice.
Yeah, really? That was it? Are you kidding me?
That was the first 48 hours of the trip.
Wow, okay. Well, no, what, did they fly in first class or something, though? I'm guessing no, huh?
I'm guessing you're right.
Yeah.
No. We were fortunate enough to fly American Airlines, and a few of us had a little status, got us a little respect on there.
Okay.
So it wasn't horrible, and we were all excited about what we were going to actually go out there and see.
Right. Well, I mean, you go all this way. It's a bit of a challenge to get there. It was the hardest. You're describing it was the hardest place to get to, just because all these legs of your trip, I guess. Is that what you're trying to say in that regard, or what?
Well, no, it was actually more than that.
Okay, we'll explain.
Well, when we show up at the first boat, it looks like a really nice boat, and there's three or four of them for different dive operations.
Right.
And when we start loading the boat, of course, you're diving in 5 and 7 mil wetsuits with hoods, and you're carrying a lot of lead. They only had steel tanks, so you're going, okay, well, that's going to be a bit of a challenge, especially out there in those seas. But then you realize they don't own a tank rack, that the way you do this is you pick a little spot on the deck of the boat, and that is your real estate where you pile your dive gear.
Okay.
So you're kind of trying to stand on the deck and put on all your gear in a boat that's rolling over some pretty good seas.
Okay, it's sounding less attractive as we continue, but I'm waiting for the big payoff here. Surely, after all this work and the nightmare of having to set up, I assume they just give you this pile and you have to set up your own gear. They don't touch it or anything. It sounds kind of rustic in that sense. Is that true?
It reminded me of 1975.
Okay, and, you know, there's a little romance connected to that, I guess, because maybe you're diving some unspoiled area of the world that has been kept pristine after all these years, or am I wrong?
Well, they've got a couple of things.
Okay, what do they got?
And then they've got everything else that is really pretty pristine.
All right.
The one big thing, and if you put Yoganani Island, spelled just like it sounds, into Google, this will be the first thing you see, the underwater monument, discovered about 30 years ago.
Okay.
Discussed by scientists all over the world.
Really?
Yeah.
So what is this thing? What kind of monument are you talking about?
It is a structure.
Yeah.
That when you look at the drawings that have been scales that have been made of it, it looks like a pyramid.
What, like something you'd see in Cozumel or something on land there?
Somewhat.
Yeah?
Somewhat, with an Asian influence.
Okay, all right.
And it has 90 degrees structures. It has what appear to be stairways. It has carvings that appear to be man-made.
Okay.
And some of the scientists say they can even see chisel marks on the stone.
So, you know, so these are square structures, or are we talking like a pyramid kind of thing?
They're square stacked structures.
Okay, and like how far off the bottom of the
top of it starts about 40 feet,
okay.
Goes down to about 150, has various platforms at various levels. It even has one area that appears to be a stage.
Okay, so obviously, well, this was above the above sea level at some point, I'm assuming they think that. And then this is kind of like Japan's version of Atlantis or something, or what?
In that same storyline, exactly. The best accepted theory is it was built above water.
Right.
When the polar ice caps melted 4,000 years ago, it raised the sea over their city.
Okay. All right. Interesting. But
the science market is pretty well split out there. It's probably 50-50. You can find somebody that will tell you it's geological just as fast as you can find somebody that will swear that it's man-made. And what's very interesting was we were a group of eight.
Right.
And we were split 50-50.
Really? Some people thought it was man-made. Other people just thought this was just some weird formation underwater structure type thing.
No, we had a couple of people that were absolutely positively sure it was man-made.
Interesting. And I guess it does look like, I mean, if you weren't looking for it, you just think it's some weird outcropping from the ocean floor because it's encrusted with coral and stuff, or what?
I think if you were a fairly new diver, you could pass right over it. But if you've done a good deal of diving, you realize Mother Nature does not make straight lines.
Mm-hmm, true.
And Mother Nature doesn't do 90 degree very well.
Yeah, but these are right on. So it's but the jury is still out. Officially, they don't really know at this point, is what you're saying, or what?
There is enough scientific proof that it's man-made for anybody to be able to claim that is scientifically proven.
Hmm, interesting. All right, so what about the marine life? Is it, was that all colorful and the corals were first class, or what are we talking?
Well, it had some first class corals, sponges, a lot of soft coral, because it's mainly very rocky.
Yes. Okay, once again, the name of this place, what was it, Yolanda? What?
Yoganani.
Yoganani. Look it up on Google, and maybe we'll add that to our list of places to dive. All right, thanks, Jerry, from Dive Training Magazine. We'll catch up with you again real soon, my friend.
Take care, Greg.
All right, more coming up. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Dive Master sitting by the phone now, wishing it would ring, hoping that it's you on the other end of the line. Tug on his line now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry, and at an affordable price. Go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Let's put some distance between us and this island and head out to open sea.
Quit my job, sold my stuff, told everyone to know that I had enough. Said goodbye to my friends down at the restaurant.
Howdy, friend. Where are you headed?
Bought an extra ticket and I'm leaving tonight. It was just a dream, but now the time is right. Maybe you're the only one I want.
Boldly going where no man has gone before.
Just you and me.
Hey, that's catchy.
Swinging in a hammock underneath the palm trees. Coconut drinks got us down on our knees. In the island breeze. See, I can't, but I think I can. Live my life with a permanent tan. Taking life easy is my only plan. I'm an island man.
Yes, he is an island man. That is the Scuba Cowboy. He has a brand new CD out. Check it out, thescubacowboy.com. He's, he was in Chicago last week for Our World Underwater, the big dive show out there. And I'm letting him thaw out this weekend. So we'll check in with him next week once he has been thoroughly unfrozen from being in 12 degrees temperatures there in Chicago for the dive show. However, in the meantime, this will get your blood pumping. Legs is on the phone. Our super mermaid dive instructor up there at the University of Gainesville. She actually is teaching people how to dive, and it's time to get an update with how that's going. Lizzie, how are you?
First of all, I want to know what the University of Gainesville is.
Oh, that's right. What is that? What do we call that?
University of Florida, only the best college on the planet.
Exactly. Best college on the planet because, of course, Legs works there. They got an eye for talent. You got to give them credit. They have the best looking teachers you could ever imagine there, especially for the diving that they offer. I'm just going out on a leg here or on a limb or something, you know. But Mermaid Lizzie is she is a super diver, and you are teaching like what is it, 8 or 10 dive masters right now? They're in dive master school there at the University of Florida.
Indeed, they are. Yes.
So last time we spoke, you were just getting started with the crew. You had an even split of like 50-50 male female dive masters in training. Now it's been a couple. It's been a few weeks. So how far are you along in their dive master training?
Well, they're going to be having their midterms next week, so I guess you could say we're about halfway through. Some of them have already completed all of their dive master skills, so that's great.
Good.
We work on those every Tuesday.
Yeah.
And right now they're in the middle of presenting a series of topics to the advanced class, and this week it's going to be decompression theory. So I'm pretty excited to hear what they have to say about that.
Yes, interesting. So this advanced class is basically their opportunity to teach the class or help assist teaching and to focus on their demonstration skills as dive masters in training. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So are any of them having any issues without singling out anybody in particular? Is anybody having any issues with like mask clearing or basic skills or what do you think you know throws them the most as they're going through this process?
Luckily, a lot of them have been through the open water program and some even the advanced to at UF. So I was able to start working with a lot of already really advanced scuba divers, which is great. So not so much mask clears. A little bit more with the more intense dive master skills, like the breath holding. They're having some trouble with, but I think that we'll get there.
Yeah, and when you say breath holding, you mean like demonstrating snorkeling skills and things like that?
Mm-hmm,
and clearing the snorkel?
Yeah.
Uh-huh, I gotcha.
Yeah, so,
all right. And that's understandable. It's very unnatural type of thing, but you know, that's what you do. You work through the skill, you get them comfortable in it. I remember when I did my dive master certification, you know, that is the nuts and bolts of becoming a dive instructor. You know, once you become, you know, you're in instructor training, it's more literally about talking in front of people and presenting the information, but, to another, potential, dive, student. However, in Dive Master, that's where you really learn how to do this stuff well and get proficient enough about it where you get comfortable enough to present it to someone else, right? Is that the idea?
Exactly. Yeah, it's definitely more of a different way of teaching.
Yeah, and you just have to get on them and have them do it over and over again until it's second nature and they don't have to think so much about it and then can focus on, you know, teaching this skill to someone else, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So are you having any issues with people being able to do, I don't know, are you doing those demonstration things where they actually have to talk in front of an audience, or are some of them nervous in that regard?
So the funny thing is I feel like I was way more nervous as a dive master doing my little mini lectures.
Yeah.
That was only in front of other instructors, where I have them speaking in front of an entire class.
Right.
They all seem fine, but they're all very loud too, so I think that has something to do with it.
Okay, but how did you get over that initial fear for yourself? What did you picture everybody, you know, in their underwear or in mermaid tails or what did you do?
I think it came as a result of just doing it over and over until I got really comfortable with material. And then I had no problem talking about it after that.
Yes. Well, there you go. It is. Practice makes perfect. The more you do it, the easier it gets. And that's what you do. You guys just repetition. You go over it over and again. And when you have a structured program, like you do there at, U of F, I would imagine it's even more, you have more time to work through those type of issues, don't you?
Yes. We have a whole 16 weeks
to stretch out all those skills and plan plenty of practice sessions. And I'm sure the guys in the class don't mind having a little extra tutoring time with, mermaid legs.
I don't know. They all seem pretty professional, but...
Yeah. As soon as you get in the locker room with them, trust me. They're playing Van Halen, Hot for Teacher, the whole thing. I have no doubt about it. But it's all good. It's good to hear your voice, Lizzie. Good things are going well, and we will catch up and get an update from how your class does here real soon again, okay?
Sounds great.
Till then, remember, it's always better. Where, Lizzie? Come on.
Down there, Twitter.
She got it. You know, practice makes perfect. It only took, you know, 16 weeks of training. Yeah.
I told you.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.